Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our parenting article. We are celebrating fathers. Tomorrow is Father's Day. And in the studio with me, I have two great panelists. Welcome, panelists.
Hello.
Hi.
First, Linda.
Hi. I'm Linda from Studio Classroom, actually.
Yes.
They let you
I'm
out.
I'm happy to be here. They let me out.
And we have Amanda. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, Brandon. It's good to be here. And, I'm looking forward to just doing this article with you guys today.
Yes, so we have a three-day parenting article, and we are talking about fathers. And I hope you have maybe purchased a gift for your father. If you haven't done that, you still have a little bit of time to do that or take them out for a meal tomorrow. Well, we are remembering fathers and husbands. That's the title of this article, and we're celebrating the fathers in our life. So actually, we kind of have two different perspectives here in this article, right, Amanda?
Right. Yeah, we have one where we're going from the father's perspective and then also from a wife's perspective as her husband is a father.
Okay. And Linda, you are married and you have kids, and so you can give us that perspective about maybe what your kids have done for your husband.
Yeah, I would be happy to.
Yeah.
When the time comes.
All right.
When the time is right.
All right. And Amanda, maybe you could share something about your father, what you have done for him in the past. Could you share something with us?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I did as a kid, well, I'm the oldest of four kids, so there's myself, my two sisters, and my brother. And I think one of the things my parents trained us growing up was we made breakfast in bed for my parents, or like for my dad on Father's Day, for my mom on Mother's Day, or if it was their birthday, maybe it was their way to be able to stay in bed just that little bit longer rather than 5 a.m. in the morning, which is generally when my brother would get up.
Mm.
But I think it just really stuck with me, you
yeah.
know, just to be able to make a meal for them and celebrate them that way.
Okay, now Father's Day in New Zealand is at a different time.
It is. It's in September.
Okay. So coming up soon.
Coming up soon.
All right. And Father's Day in the U.S. is in June. So we have Father's Day, Linda, all different times of the year, depending on where you live, I guess.
That's right. So like in our family, if the kids missed one, they got the other one.
<There you go.
laughs> Or they took turns. One of them would do June, one of them would do August.
Right. There you go. So many options.
Yes.
But in the U.S., it's always on a Sunday, so we would go to church, and then we would have lunch afterwards. My mom maybe would cook, and then I would give some sort of gift. You see a tie there at the top of page 16. This is kind of a very traditional gift that you think of for Father's Day.
Right.
Maybe some fathers are getting tired of the ties, but that is a traditional gift in North America anyway. Do you do that in New Zealand as well?
Yeah, I think we also give ties as well.
All right. Okay, so Linda, what did your kids usually do for your husband on Father's Day?
Well, they didn't cook. we usually went out, when they were growing up and living in Taiwan with us, we usually went out on Father's Day for lunch or something, and then they would give him some kind of gift. I know this year, our kids are grown up now, and my husband happened to go back early.
Yeah.
He actually went back in April or May, and my son took him to a sports game, a hockey game. I think it's hockey.
Mm.
He took him to a hockey
game nice.
Anyway.
That's different.
Yeah, for an early Father's Day, and they spent the weekend together.
Okay,
great.
Well, there are many things you can do for your father. I think the most important thing is to spend time with them and show them that you love them. Well, if you have your magazines, go ahead and open them to page 16, or if you have your digital device, you can follow along there. Right now, we will have our first reading.
Remembering fathers and husbands. Celebrating the fathers in our lives. Father's Day. Last Father's Day began like others before it. My sons, Trent and Troy, were urging me to open my present. Not entirely pleased at having my Sunday slumber cut short, I sat up to greet my happy boys. You gotta open it, Dad! So I tore into the box to discover a beautiful watch. I loved it and told them so, but I later thought that their white smiles and enthusiasm were the best part of the gift. I was reminded again how privileged I am to join my wife, Jean, in the task of raising Trent and Troy.
Okay, well, the writer of this article, his name is Jim Daly, and you see photos of him with his wife and kids there on page 16. So it's from his perspective, this article. And we begin with, last Father's Day began like others before it. And what was that?
Well, they always, it sounds like that their sons, his sons, Trent and Troy, always gave him some kind of gift that they were so anxious for him to open.
Right. They were urging him to open the present. They were trying to persuade him. You can imagine kids, come on, Dad, open the gift.
Yeah.
Open it up. They're excited for him to open the gift that they got him, right? And was he happy about this, Amanda?
Well, it says in the next sentence, not entirely. So he was completely pleased. He woken up from his Sunday slumber. And slumber is just another word for sleep.
Yes. And I don't like to be, you know, woken up from my slumber at any day of the week, right? And I often
do you
think,
sleep during the week, too? At work?
I know, right? But when I think of Sundays, I think of taking a nap. Growing up, I would take Sunday afternoon naps, and so those are great. I miss those. I don't get those anymore. Panelists, do you take naps?
Yes. Especially on Sunday afternoon if I'm not out and about.
Right.
Amanda. Yeah, I do as well. I think the Sundays, especially after a good hearty lunch, right? It's good to have a nice sleep.
That's right.
In the afternoon.
All right, so anyway, the kids, they were waking him up, and so he sat up to greet his happy boys. And what did they say? You gotta open it, Dad. So again, they're urging him to just open this gift. And so what did he do, Linda?
Oh, I like the description. This is a very descriptive article. It says, I tore into the box. And when you tear into something, it just means you opened it quickly. He didn't really rip it up.
Okay. Although sometimes I might do that with a gift. You're so excited. You just rip the paper up, right?
Oh, Brandon, I'm finding out so much about you. Make sure you put something in a box when you give it to him. Okay, so he tore into the box means that he quickly opened the box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and inside he got a watch. That's kind of a nice gift
that
for
Mother's nice
Day.
Gift.
Very
because
nice.
His boys don't look that old.
That's right. I think his mom may have helped with that.
I think so.
Well, it says, I loved it and told them so, but later he thought what?
That their wide smiles and enthusiasm were the best part of the gift.
Okay.
So not actually the watch itself, but his two boys.
So it made him happy that they were so happy, right?
Right. I find that for myself. I mean, I know this is about fathers, but just getting gifts, you know, and seeing their response, no matter what it is, especially with kids, you know, you need to be careful about your reaction if you open up something and think, I didn't really need that, but you don't want to show that.
Right.
Because it really changes and also makes kids feel very insecure about what they're doing.
Right, and also it sets such a high standard that the next time they try to buy a gift, they're not excited about it. Right?
Right.
So he was reminded again how privileged he is to join his wife, Jean, in the task of raising Trent and Troy. So here in this example, we see the joy of being a father, Amanda.
Right, and just we use that word privileged, you know, when we say you feel privileged about something, it's an honor, right? And so he feels it's an honor to parent and to raise Trent and Troy with his wife, Jean.
I think that's really a good attitude to have. You know, sometimes, you know, when you hear parents talk, they complain about being a parent or how much time it takes or what hard work it is. But, you know, really, kids are a gift to us, and it is a great privilege to be a part of their lives and to raise them.
Yeah, and I suppose I don't have kids, but Linda, you could speak more to this, but I suppose it's your choice what you want to focus on, the difficulties of raising children or the joys that they bring.
And I think that that reflects in your attitude toward them as well. You know, kids can tell when they're a bother. I mean, you know, when generally speaking, your attitude toward them is kind of like, you know, go away, leave me alone, or you know, whether you want to join in the joy of their lives.
Right. So I think that's a choice that you have to make constantly, right? Well, it is a balancing act, and we are going to learn more about Mr. Daly and his life as a father. Let's find out more in our next reading.
A balancing act. Sometimes we dads get distracted from that privilege. Personally, I'm not immune to getting wrapped up in my work. I still struggle with balancing my responsibilities and the needs of my own family. How can I avoid being consumed by the good work of family ministry at the expense of my ministry at home? I often think that a big part of wisdom is in one's ability to glimpse the end while still at the beginning. When I'm old and the boys are grown, will I look back on how I raised them with a sense of peace? Or will I wonder what could have been?
But it's not easy to stay focused on your family, is it?
Right.
You see that we can have many distractions.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, going on in your life. I mean, even before you have children, you're concentrating perhaps on your job or your different activities that you have in your life, even your own extended family. And so when you're also a parent, well, this is another, you know, no, I wouldn't say task, but it is a responsibility that you need to include and be very serious about in your schedule.
Right. And so we all struggle with this, job, life, balance, work-life balance. And Jim Daly says, personally, I'm not immune to getting wrapped up in my work. First of all, let's take a look at that word immune, Linda.
Well, oftentimes we think of immune when we think of an illness. But this here it means that he actually, if we look at our vocabulary focus, it says not affected or upset by a particular type of behavior or emotion. And that means that he can, you know, get wrapped up in his work. You know, he's not, he doesn't have a shot that keeps him from doing that.
Right. He's also affected by
this. He's affected by it.
And if you're wrapped up in something, you're very interested in it, or you're very focused on it.
Yeah, it kind of consumes you.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And so it's easy to do this, to be wrapped up in your work. And he struggles with balancing responsibilities. He has family responsibilities, and he has work responsibilities. And what does he say about being consumed by this?
He says, how can I avoid being consumed by the good work of family ministry at the expense of my ministry at home? I think, well, first of all, we have this being consumed by, and this is a phrase that we use to mean that it's a feeling that you have when you're consumed by something. It's a feeling that you feel like overcome, right? And it starts to affect everything that you're doing.
Kind of takes up your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
The same idea of being wrapped up in something.
Right.
Right.
Consumed by it.
Right. And it has a, if you're consumed by something, usually it's negative.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So if you're consumed by fashion, you know, then it means you have to have everything the latest fashion. It's not a very positive meaning.
Okay, so how can he avoid this? And he talks about, you know, he has the good work of family ministry, and then he talks about home ministry.
Right. Jim Daly, he is in charge of, or the president of, Focus on the Family. And that's a big organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's referring to here.
Yes.
When he talks about family ministry. So Focus on the Family is helping other families be equipped to know how to be good parents, mm-hmm. or how to look after their children or raise their children. So that's what he does in his job. That's his career.
Right.
And so he's working with family ministry, but then he also has to balance that with being a dad and being a parent at home, and what they need from him, what his children and wife need from him.
So he's asking some good questions here. He's stopping to reflect, which is good. A lot of times we don't stop. We just keep going in our current state. But he's stopping to think about, hey, wait a minute, I need to maybe spend more time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this phrase here, at the expense of.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he focuses too much on work, his family will suffer. So it's kind of like they're at a loss here when we talk about at the expense of.
Right. So if you do something at the expense of something, you always do something at the expense of something else.
Mm.
And maybe here he's afraid he might spend too much time at work, so his family will lose it.
Right.
You know, so there has to be a... That's why they're talking about balance.
Someone's paying the price in
right.
that equation, right?
Right.
Actually, growing up, my father was a tour driver. Like, he drove tour buses. So if you went to New Zealand for 7 days, he would take you around the country for 7 days.
Does he still do that? Are you inviting us?
Let's go. He could if we organize a tour. But at that time, my mom had four little kids at home, right? And so at one time, my mom actually did say to him, could you find a job closer to home so that you could be home daily rather than away for so long?
Yes.
Because looking after four kids by herself was quite difficult. Even
sure.
with the help of family and the church community we were in, it was difficult. And my dad did. He made that sacrifice
right.
To also help my mom.
So someone has to make the sacrifice, and we have to choose, as fathers, you have to choose that, or someone's going to be sacrificing something in the family.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, as children, we remember that, and we remember that example as well. And so it's something that you often, when you come to a point where you ask this question in your own life, is something that I'm doing consuming me for another time? I always remember that example because it sets such a good example for us.
Right. That's good. And we can learn from our parents. That's a great point. Okay, so he says next at the top of page 16, the right column, I often think that a big part of wisdom is in one's ability to glimpse the end while still at the beginning. That word glimpse, meaning you see something maybe for a short time or just partially. And so you look at the end while you're at the beginning.
Right. And so here he's thinking about the time that he would invest in his family or in his children. You know, now he's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And but what's it going to be like in 10 and 20 and 30 years? If you don't invest that time with your family now, you know, you don't really have that kind of relationship with your children that you probably are going to end up wanting in 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And then that's the time of your children's lives when they are very busy. So if you don't, as Amanda said, have that good example, if you don't set the example, as we as parents don't set that example, both fathers and mothers, then your kids will also not have that example.
Yeah.
So why should they do it themselves?
Yeah. What do you want the end result to be? Your kids, as Linda was just saying, are going to grow up. What are they going to be like? You can play a big part in that. And so we parents are training their children. So think about that. And you can make changes today that will be, you will see the results later, but it's important to act now. So wisdom is important as parents. We need wisdom. We all need wisdom, whether we're parents or not. But he says next, when I'm old and the boys are grown, will I look back on how I raised them with a sense of peace? Raising with a sense of peace, I would imagine, would be difficult with kids, Linda.
You know, I mean... Speaking as a mother, you think when you look back, because my kids are in their 30s now, when you look back, there are always things you can think, I should have done that differently.
Mm.
But the thing to remember is you have to have a relationship with them, and what you have to do for their good.
Mm.
You know, and then you can, even if it's difficult sometimes, you can look back and think, I did what I could.
Yeah.
I did what I felt was right.
Right. Mm. And I like here that they talk about peace, because I think when you have kids in the house, it's easy just to react to what's going on right then. But I think if you decide beforehand, you know, how you're going to parent, of course you're not perfect, but I think that word peace is very powerful here.
You have to remember that you're the adult.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Or, he says, will I wonder what could have been?
Mm-hmm.
We all do that sometimes. We look back and we think, you know, if I would have done this, what could have happened? But we shouldn't do that too much, right? Because we can't go back and change things. We can only change today, right? We can act today. So don't live in a life of regret, right?
Right.
Learn from that, but don't, you know, be overcome by that.
Right. I think that we don't, like you said before, Linda, you know, sometimes there are things that we wish we might have done differently, but I think that if we consider or reflect, you know, take time to reflect a little, then we can also think, what do we want it to look like?
Right. And you can learn from those mistakes, but you don't want it to just drag you down and overtake your life.
Mm. Right. I also think you have to know yourself, you know. And one thing for a parent is, I mean, for myself, and I think this is true for a lot of parents, is you spend a lot of years being tired. And, you know, you have to know yourself well enough. Are you short-tempered when you're tired? How do you, you know, we tend to react more strongly, you know, and maybe overreact to things when we're tired, that if we weren't, we would go, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. But if you're tired, you're just like, why did you do that?
Right.
You know, so think for parents, both mothers and fathers, we need to look at that and see what we need to do to be a good parent to our children.
Yeah.
So do you need that nap? Then take it.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just make simple changes. They're not necessarily easy, but they're simple changes, like going to bed earlier if we have the opportunity, and it can make a big difference.
I remember when my kids were little, one of my friends said to me, you know, those dishes will always be there, or that desk will always be waiting for me, but my kids won't be.
Yeah.
So I think as parents, we need to remember that.
Very good reminders. Well, what matters most? Let's find out in our last reading for today.
What matters most? When I think back on my life as a dad so far, here are the things I remember. Hearing the boys' first cries and holding Trent and Troy tight. First steps. First words. The pain of leaving on ministry trips. The joy of airport reunions, skinned knees, bloody noses, and a DVD player that somehow caught fire. Teaching my boys how to ride their bikes, ball games, and flashlight tag. And best of all, seeing my sons' hearts open to the gospel. Time will not scatter these memories. And if in the end these moments with my boys will matter the most, I must make the most of our time together today.
All right, now we are talking about what matters most. And Mr. Daly, he's looking back on his time as a father, Amanda.
Right. He thinks, when I think back on my life as a dad so far, here are the things I remember.
And he talks about, yes, a list of things, right? Hearing the boys' first cries and holding Trent and Troy tight. First steps and first words. Linda, help us out here. You've experienced these things.
I'm not a father.
I know, but you're a mother.
Well, so. You know, I mean, I just think about my husband. He was there when both of our children were born. And I know my friends came. When our son was born, we were still in the States. And our friends came because it was taking a while, and they saw him in the hallway, like white as a sheet. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that he always will remember. And, you know, you need to be involved in your children's lives, because these are things that, you know, he can look back and remember these, and they're lasting. They're forever lasting memories.
Right. And he talks about the difficulty of leaving on these trips. They're called ministry trips. As Amanda mentioned earlier, Jim Daly works for an organization called Focus on the Family. So he's very busy going on some trips, I guess, from time to time, but he has to leave his family.
Right. And I think that there's always that pain of leaving your family, you know, even for a short time. But then it goes on to say the joy of airport reunions. So, yes, there's pain in leaving, but there's also joy in returning.
That's right. And, of course, a reunion, you've been away for a while and you come back and you get to see the people that you love. Sometimes we have family reunions where we haven't seen family, extended family for years, and then we get together and have a big meal together and talk with each other. Next, he talks about skinned knees, bloody noses, and a DVD player.
You can tell he has boys. Well, except for the skinned knees, everybody gets them.
That's right.
So a skinned knee is when you fall. Usually we think of children, but this can also happen to adults. You know, a child falls down and on his or her knees, and then the skin comes off.
Yes.
That's a skinned knee.
This happens a lot with kids.
Yes.
Especially if you're riding a bicycle or, you know, going for a hike.
Running, or, really fast.
Skateboarding.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about the DVD player catching on fire. That could be really dangerous. I'm not sure what the kids were doing. He doesn't really explain. Maybe he wants to forget about that.
Maybe they thought it was a microwave.
Well, he also talks about teaching his boys how to ride their bikes. And I'm sure as a father, that's a very special moment to be able to teach your kids how to do that. And there's also ball games. I grew up playing baseball, at least for part of my childhood, and my dad was very involved with that. And then he talks about flashlight tag. Have you played that before, Amanda?
I have, but it seems so long ago.
What is it?
It's a, well, we have it in our specialized terms, and it's a children's game that you play at night, where one person tries to find and catch other players by using the light coming from their flashlight. So the other kids are running away, trying to avoid the flashlight, but the person that's the tag, trying to catch everybody, uses the flashlight to try to catch them.
All right, but these are all things that are happening, but the most important for Jim Daly was seeing his son's hearts open to the gospel. And we have that defined there as well. Of course, the gospel is talking about Jesus and how he died to pay for sins, all people. And he was buried, rose again, and conquered death, and so forth. And so this is a Christian teaching, and this is what is most important for Mr. Daly. And so he was very excited to see his sons open up to that. But time will not scatter these memories. And if in the end these moments with my boys will matter the most, I must make the most of our time together today. And so it's important to focus on the present, right?
Right. Because you can't get it back.
That's right.
That's true.
So I hope you fathers are enjoying this article, and I hope you have a great Father's Day tomorrow and that you will come back and join us, everyone, whether you're a father or not. Join us for day two tomorrow of our parenting article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Amanda,
and Linda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.